Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. And I want to give an especially big shout out to all the people who are participating in my podcasting class, Podcast Your Passion. I recently relaunched it. It's a six-week course to help people create and start their podcast and get it launched in 6 weeks. And I have just a wonderful, wonderful group of students who've joined the class this go around. I really appreciate it. I'll definitely be offering the class again in the future, probably in the summertime. So thank you all for joining me for that. Anyway, welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour. I hope you're all doing great this week. I have an amazing guest that I'm looking forward to bringing on in just a moment. But first, of course, I have my little section from my book, Everyday Awakening. Let's get to it so then I can bring my guest on. And this section is entitled, Home is Not Our House. It is about living in the heart. Coming home is not about returning to our house or apartment. It is not about being with our family, although they can be there. It is not about visiting our place of birth or origin. It's about feeling the sense of home in our hearts. It is about feeling okay to be ourselves. When we leave our center, our home, we lose ourselves. We become ungrounded. It becomes easy to get pulled into situations that do not need or deserve our attention. When we get hurt, we close our hearts. It can take time to feel safe again and ready to reopen our hearts, to be back at the place where we are comfortable with ourselves. Many things can take us away from our home, our jobs, our businesses, our friends, our projects, our love, our lovers. Finding our way back to our hearts can be an elusive endeavor, especially when we have not traveled that way before. While it is easy to leave the heart space, it is not as easy to re-enter it. When we feel unsafe and uncertain, moving back to center is frightening. We might get hurt again. We might get abused again. We might be left alone again. Yet the pain of not being home is actually worse than taking that risk. Our souls desire to be back home. Every fiber of our being craves to be back home. And when we reemerge in our true home, we do feel safe. Not because of what anyone else may or may not do, because we are safe with ourselves, because it is where our true essence lies, where our heart is, our home is. Have you gone home lately? Have you connected with your heart lately? So I wrote this section of my book probably somewhere around 6 years ago, I would guess, 6 to 7 years ago. And it was the first time I wrote it because someone I was working with at the time had said, you know, coming home to our hearts. And he kind of gave a little talk about it. And I discussed it with him afterwards. And I just thought, you know, it was a very different way of thinking about home. We usually tend to think about home as this physical place. Whether it was the home we grew up in or the home we have now. And we tend to, you know, take things very literally in a way. And so for me, it was very much a different way of thinking about home. That home wasn't about a physical place. That home was really about the place within ourselves where we feel safe, where we feel connected, where we are just being ourselves. And so I wrote this section to really share that feeling that I had. And as I mentioned, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had on G.P. Walsh, actually last week, to talk about his journey and his process called Inner Reconciliation. And we talked about how the longest distance we will travel is the 18 inches from our head to our heart. And the reason why that's so is because we've all been so hurt and traumatized and have had to deal with such painful and uncomfortable things that at some point in our life, we decided it wasn't safe to be in our heart. That if we were in our heart, we were just going to feel more pain. And so to cut ourselves off from our heart, we go up into our head. But when we're not in our heart, we're not in our home. We're not connected. We're not connected to ourselves. And when we're not connected to ourselves, we're not connected to others. To me, this is why there's such an epidemic of loneliness and alienation and sense of not belonging. And so in my hallucination, my point of view, the way to solve that epidemic is to use practices like what we're going to talk about today to learn to come back to our hearts, to feel safe, to be home, to be connected, to be ourselves, and to be with ourselves again. And it's interesting because one of the things I've noticed with many of my friends during the pandemic is that because we're having to spend so much time with ourselves, not being so externally focused, not being out there, but to be inward and with ourselves, it actually is causing us to actually come back to ourselves, to be safe, to work through these things. And I've just noticed with several of my friends that over the last couple of years, they feel much more grounded. They're much more present with themselves and much more connected. So anyway, this seems like it's just the perfect section of my book to read. Again, it's just it's the second section in the fourth chapter of my book for my guest. And so, and again, if anyone listening has not gotten a copy yet of my book, what are you doing? Get a copy of my book. You just go to everydayawakeningbook.com and it'll take you right to the Amazon listing. Go pick it up. And I would love to hear from you. Please leave a review on Amazon or whatever bookseller. You can get it on Barnes and Nobles, all over the place. But get it and let me know what you think. So now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show co-founder, educator, guide, nonprofit board member, and principal organizer of the DMTX program, Daniel McQueen. Daniel is a professional psychedelic therapist and executive director of the Center for Medical Mindfulness, a psychedelic harm reduction program and international psychedelic therapy training program focusing on cannabis-assisted psychedelic therapy and cannabis-assisted psychotherapy. In his newest book, Psychedelic Cannabis, Daniel explains how cannabis can be used to treat trauma and emotional pain as a problem-solving tool and as a potent catalyst for self-transformation and healing work. He shares methods to minimize the unwanted effects, such as anxiety and paranoia, and details how to blend cannabis strains for specific kinds of psychedelic experiences. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm really grateful to be here.
I'm grateful for you to take the time to come on today and to join us. So I'm just curious to begin with, what sort of brought you to sort of, or got you to want to focus on the, I'll call it the healing arts or the healing professions. And then from that, what kind of moved you from just being in the healing professions to actually focusing on cannabis as a psychedelic treatment?
Yeah, well, it's been a lifelong journey, I think. I've always been a seeker, a spiritual seeker and interested in personal development and growth. But, you know, I also came from a history of trauma as well, just as many of us have. And so I think my interest in healing modalities was because I was in my own healing process. Mm. You know, and then also, you know, I really appreciated what you said about, you know, home is home is in your heart, you know? So I grew up in a space in Little Rock, Arkansas that I never really quite fit in, you know? And so I had to find my own way to my heart in a way. And one of those was in the intentional use of psychedelic medicines. So you know, psychedelic medicines has always been an interest of mine since my early adulthood, you know? And so I went and got my master's in transpersonal counseling at Naropa, which is the study of altered states of consciousness, meditation, spirituality, and how it relates to psychology. And I always thought I would go into psychedelic guiding work. I've been part of intentional communities in that way. And then 10 years ago, things really started to open up in the field of psychedelic therapy.
Yeah.
With movement and such. And so after I graduated, cannabis became legal and we started to experiment with cannabis as a psychedelic. Mm-hmm. We thought maybe it'd be a nice teaching tool or something, but it became very obvious that it was a classic psychedelic and could be used for therapeutic and personal growth purposes. So,
and you know, it's really interesting, especially when I came across your book, because I know I have this prejudice and maybe other people do, but most people don't tend to think of cannabis as a psychedelic. Like when you say a psychedelic substance, people are thinking LSD, mushrooms, DMT, you know, some of these really high potency things that create a very strong experience. How do you see cannabis as a psychedelic?
Yeah, it's dose dependent, just like these other medicines are. So what happens is people are just smoking recreational levels of dosing. And so they're not reaching these psychedelic states. And then also set and setting is a major contributor. You know, we can dive into these things. And then making the blends that I talk about makes it more psychedelic. And just the quality of the medicine in the last 5-10 years. You're in New York, y'all just legalized. Yep. Right. So the quality of the medicine is going to shoot through the roof up there. And so people are going to have more psychedelic experiences with this medicine.
Right. And so how long ago did you co-found the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness?
Yeah, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary, actually.
Oh, wow. So, wonderful.
Know, so we've been doing this for 10 years.
And where are you located, just so my audience knows?
In Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado. Wonderful. So, and I just want to, we're going to go out to our first break, but I just want to kind of preface the whole conversation we're going to have over the next hour. First of all, like we're talking about where this is legalized. It's not federally legalized. There's still some states where it's not. Though I think the majority of states now already have legalized cannabis, correct?
That's right. Either medically or recreationally.
Recreationally, yeah. It's something like 35 or 37 states have already legalized. So if it's not legal where you are, we are not encouraging anybody to do anything that is illegal or illicit. This is purely for informational purposes. And this is really geared towards people who are in a place where they can legally access the substances we're going to talk about today. So just that little disclaimer, I don't want the authorities coming after me. I have to be fully honest. You know, I mean, these days, you know, you got to be careful. Anyway, so let's go out to break. And when we come back, let's kind of talk about sort of the difference between cannabis and other forms of psychedelics and sort of how you developed this program and this therapeutic modality of using cannabis and what's unique about using cannabis as a therapeutic psychedelic modality compared to other things. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this live every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and on Facebook Live. And I do see my loyal listener, William from Virginia, joining us on the Facebook Live. Thank you, William, for joining us. Anyone else listening on the Facebook Live, please check in. We'd love to shout you out. And we are talking this hour with Daniel McQueen, co-founder of the Center for Medical Mindfulness and author of the new book, Psychedelic Cannabis. And we will be right back after these messages.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy. and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Daniel McQueen, author of the book, Psychedelic Cannabis. So when was there something, Daniel, was it just a progression or was there a specific incident where you kind of got this inspiration of like, oh, like we can use cannabis the same way like people are doing research on LSD assisted therapy or MDMA assisted therapy or any of these other psychedelic assisted therapies?
You know, it wasn't one specific moment. It was probably a series of experiences. I think the first time I became aware of cannabis as a psychedelic, I was stretching. I'd smoked some cannabis and was doing some stretching. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a deep neck stretch and something in my neck popped a little bit. And I saw, I literally saw a blue lightning bolt go up my spine, you know? Ooh. So it was very clearly like that was a psychedelic moment. It surprised me. But you know, I had real specific training in different psychedelic modalities. I was trained as an MDMA facilitator, and I've worked in other community settings with these medicines, ceremonial settings. So I just had a lot of different skill sets that I could bring together. I started teaching a psychedelic harm reduction course, and teaching people how to sit for friends and things. And so I was already thinking about these things. And then my friend John was the one who suggested it. And I had never considered it. It was right before cannabis became adult use legal in Colorado. So like 2013 or something.
Okay.
And I was also about to have my first kid, you know. So my risk profile changed pretty substantially of what I was open to doing in the world and professionally. And I also really like to talk about what I do, you know, so being an underground guy just didn't really feel like a viable option anymore. And so we started to just play with it, experiment with it. We had some what we call circles where it was just brought like six friends together in my living room. And I just was intuitively drawn to blend the medicine, blend different strains to combine different mind states. And that had a synergistic effect that was surprising.
I want to dig into that for just a quick second, because a lot of people I think have a tendency to think like marijuana is just cannabis is just pot. It's all the same. Talk for just a little second, educate our audience about the different strains. Cause I know, I mean, I'm not a real expert on it, but I know there are sort of two major strains, right? There's sativa and indica.
Yeah, two families.
But within those, there are several strains, right?
Yeah, I mean, hundreds and hundreds, you know, and it has to do with how they're grown and where they're grown and what nutrients and all kinds of issues, you know, that affect the quality and the states that they induce. So most of us who are, you know, coming out of a space where you're buying cannabis from a friend or something like that, or your neighbor dealer, whatever that is, they generally, you know, in the back in the day, it was just pot. It was just weed. Right. Just one thing, and it was pretty low quality. It was pressed into bricks and smelled like skunk and things like that, right? So there was just one available. And then sometimes you get really stoned, and sometimes you get real, you know, and sedated, and other times you get high and anxious and things. So just the quality of the medicine is now radically different. So I can go down to the dispensary here in Boulder and get organic, high quality cannabis that has very high THC content and what we call a terpene profile, a real specific terpene profile. And what that means is it just smells a certain way. So some medicines smell like pine needles, some smell like lemon, some smell like rich earth, you know, mangoes or black peppers and things like that. And each of these different terpene profiles have a different mind state associated with them. And that's basically in these three categories, which we call indica, sativas, and the middle category, which we call like hybrid, middle of the road between the two. So sativas are very uplifting and energetic, but they can induce anxiety. Right. Indicas are like amplify our body awareness, help us relax or sleep, but they can be kind of dulling in the mind. What I found is if you combine the two together, like good quality medicine, and you combine those two together, the indica takes the anxiety out of the sativa and leaves the amplified mind state, and the sativa takes the sedative, dull qualities of the indica out and leaves a deeply relaxed, amplified somatic awareness.
And so when you work with the medicine, is it edible form? Is it you're vaping or smoking? How do you typically like to work with it?
Well, when you get the good terpene profiles, it's smoked or vaporized raw flower. What, you know, what I found is just like good, clean, raw, you know, like flour instead of an oil or concentrate is the best. Okay. We work in an office setting, so we have special vaporizers that reduce the smell. And it also is better on the lungs than using a pipe, you know, regular glass pipe or something like that. Edibles are great, but they have a higher chance of increasing the negative side effects. Like it's easier to overdo it on an edible, and that's what causes the paranoia or anxiety or the nausea. Just take a little too much. Gotcha. So, you know, as people can smoke and titrate it, you know, they just smoke until they get enough. And, you know, they're not super strong doses. It's more about the blend and everything, but people can take a pretty good amount to get into these states.
And what have you found, like in terms of the healing aspect of it, as well as sort of the self-exploration aspect, like what sort of early indications did you get from working with people that like this was a real viable option for creating tremendous healing from trauma? Because I know that's a big part of your work. You talk a lot about it in your book.
Yeah. So we all have trauma, right? And some of it's like extreme trauma, like PTSD and such. But we all, you know, we all carry some degree of difficult life experience. It's just the nature of being human. And So it's similar to psilocybin in that it's visual, intervisual experiences and things. So people have religious or spiritual experiences on the medicine. But what I found is that it's very similar to a plant-based MDMA. And so so all the research on MDMA-assisted psychotherapy for the treatment of trauma and PTSD, it translates to cannabis. And there's two mechanisms that seem to happen is one, it increases our ability to recall difficult memories so that they can be reevaluated and explored, but in a safe container. You know, cannabis helps you feel okay and safe like MDMA does. And so there's a neurological thing occurring in the amygdala and the hippocampus and things where people have a life review and a memory recall process. And the other thing that happens with cannabis, that specifically around trauma resolution, is that it relaxes the body and reduces inflammation in the in our muscles and tendons, and by affecting the endocannabinoid system, that it people literally shake out their trauma. Like their body will tremble, shake, vibrate, or they'll twitch and things in session. Right. And that's very similar to like somatic experiencing and other trauma resolution therapies, and also very common in MDMA therapy. So, so it just directly impacts the neural pathways and like the tension held in the body where we physically hold our injuries and our traumas.
Right. Yeah. I've also heard that like, and a lot of people use the analogy of like an animal when a gazelle is being chased by a lion in the wild, once it gets away, it shakes because it shakes off the trauma, and then it's fine. And then it acts like, you know, it doesn't do it. So when we're shaking, it's like, that's the nervous system shaking off the trauma.
Right. And then as humans, we're taught that like shaking is a sign of weakness, or like you shouldn't do that. Don't show emotion or worry, things like that. So people will tighten up instead of shake it out. So what that happens is it gets stuck in the body, and, you know, an acute situation like a car accident or something, you know, like that can be enough, you know, but sometimes trauma comes from having to hold a little bit at a time, like a developmental concern growing up, or being in an abusive or unhealthy relationship, or just in a work environment that just is like constantly in a what we call a trauma field. It's like hospital settings, or working as a police officer, firefighter, things like that, you know, where you're just constantly exposed to difficult experiences, and you got to toughen up and not show that you have a big emotional experience, you know, you heart right. compassion, right, like empathy for another person's pain, you know, so right. So right. that stuff builds up in the system, and cannabis allows for that to be released, and for people to break through that and return to, you know, what you're describing, the heart-centered space and home in our hearts.
Wonderful. I'd like to break now, just because it's a good point. I would like to, when we come back from break, talk about what's unique about using cannabis. It's what's different about it? What's the same? Like what are some of the considerations that, regardless of the type of psychedelic medicine you work with, what are some of the same considerations, and what's unique and what's a different consideration working with cannabis? Okay, Daniel?
Absolutely.
Great. Wonderful. And I see loyal listeners, Patty and Sanaya, also checking in today. Glad you can join us. I did post a link to the book in the Facebook Live. So everyone, please stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to dive a little bit more into it. And I do want to circle around to this DMX project and what's that all about. And we'll also talk more about his Center for Medical Mindfulness. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking with Daniel McQueen, author of the book Psychedelic Cannabis, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So quick correction. It's the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness, not Medical Mindfulness, excuse me. So Daniel, what's unique about using cannabis as a psychedelic therapy, and what's the same? What are the similar considerations from other substances?
Sure. Yeah, you know, a lot of my clients describe it as, for those who've taken ayahuasca or taken psilocybin, they describe it as, wow, that was just as powerful as my ayahuasca journey or my psilocybin journey. And it's not uncommon for people to even go into states that are similar to smoking in DMT, you know, unlike higher doses and such. And with that being said, though, like I said, it's like a empathogen, similar to MDMA. So there's a greater sense of agency with cannabis, especially when you smoke it, than with these other medicines. So for example, if you take psilocybin, you know, you can't really take a break from the experience to go to the restroom or something, right? Like, or smoke DMT, you're in it for a little while. With cannabis, you can simply take your eye covering off and sit up and you'll be really high, but you'll get a chance to take a break from the inner psychedelic state. Not really sure why that is, but it's a fascinating, and it's also, you know, nice to be able to slow it down and titrate when necessary. So we call cannabis the consensual psychedelic. You can go into these deep psychedelic states where you dissolve your ego and all of that, but you get to choose every step of the way to go into it and pace yourself. And I think that's one of the primary differences. You know, so as a therapeutic tool, you know, a lot of people have had, you know, have trauma and PTSD because they had an experience where they lost their sense of agency. Yeah. And so reclaiming your healing in terms that work for you in a way that you consent to, as opposed to being like thrust into like some psychedelics do, it's a really nice therapeutic tool for that reason. It feels safer in that way. You know, it doesn't mean it's less than other psychedelics, but that is one of the primary differences. It's mostly when you smoke it. Like if you were to take a high dose edible, you know, like really big edible, that would be more like psilocybin where you just like thrown into it.
Gotcha.
You know, the other one I would say is that it's very somatic. Whereas most psychedelics might take you out of the body, unless you intentionally choose to turn inward into the body, cannabis brings you right into the body. And that's where trauma is stored. If you can learn to turn towards and release the tensions that we hold there, or the emotional tensions even that we hold in our bodies, I found that to be really essential and helpful for the trauma healing.
What are the challenges in working with cannabis as a psychedelic therapy?
You know, the sessions themselves are really wonderful. The challenges are more about like this belief that cannabis can be used as a psychedelic, you know, so we have to work with people and do a lot of education or break through a lot of the misunderstandings of cannabis as the gateway drug you know, a lot of the old stuff of the war on drugs. So like, so as psilocybin and MDMA are having their moment in the light, you know, everybody's really gung-ho with these medicines, people are still real hesitant around cannabis as a psychedelic, you know. So, you know, I've organized a team of researchers to research cannabis as a psychedelic medicine for therapeutic work. So we're working to help break through those misunderstandings. But I'd say more often than not, it's more about what people's expectations are than the actual experience itself. In some ways, cannabis is a wonderful medicine to work with.
I'm just curious, like for those people who say, well, you know, I've been smoking pot since I was a kid and I've never really had that deep healing experience. How is what you do? How do you get that to that deeper experience for people?
Yeah. So again, the medicine we smoke as kids or young adults is just different than it is now, you know? So I would check in around like, how long have you been smoking, or when was the last time you smoked? Was it 5, 10, 20 years ago? And just know that the medicine itself is very different than it was then. And, and set and setting, you know, the quality of the medicine is very important. And there are people who smoke cannabis and listen, you know, lay in their, reclining chair and listen to good music and things. And I know a lot of meditation instructors who got their start at, early in the 60s and 70s, you know, became Naropa professors that had their first awakening experiences on cannabis. But because of these misunderstandings, or again, this kind of glitch in our psyche, we sometimes right. minimize the impact, the positive impact that cannabis has had in our lives. So I would say it's just about dosage and right set and setting. And you know, mentioning my book, I tell you exactly how to do it, because I think it's very important that we address systemic trauma and large scale trauma as soon as possible.
Right.
So I'd
right.
encourage you to follow the instructions in the book and give it a try.
Yeah, we can't give away all the secrets in the book. You have to come buy the book. I did post a link. Again, it's Psychedelic Cannabis. And you can get the book like everywhere, right? It's on Amazon
and bookstores and stuff too. So
right.
It's on Inner Traditions. Mm-hmm. Publish it with me.
Yeah, Inner Traditions, wonderful publisher. I've had a lot of their great authors on the show. Maybe you can give us, could you give us an example, like, you know, nap breaking, you know, client, practitioner privilege or anything, to just kind of generalize, like, what are some of the, like, healing experiences you've seen clients go through that kind of highlight to you sort of the benefits of this as a cannabis as a medicine?
Sure. I think some that stand out, I was working with a gentleman who was with his friend who was in, died in a bike accident, you know, and so the, you know, trauma of trying to save his friend and like the guilt associated with being there. And it was just a difficult experience, obviously, for him. And so he, you know, and his questions weren't just about the experience and the trauma resolution. He wasn't just coming for that. He was looking for an existential answer of, does his friend still exist in some way, in some capacity? And so we were able to, with the help of this medicine, actually go through the whole experience and the memory of what happened, how it happened, just at step by step by step. And the resolution, the turning towards a difficult memory and experience, does something in the brain that helps put it in the right place. And so the trauma symptoms that cause what we would call PTSD get reduced. You know, it's just everything gets kind of reset. Mm-hmm. But he went deeper than that and was able to drop into this space of connecting with the cycle of life, death, and rebirth, and the karma, you know, the karmic influences that we all hold. And he realized that he and his friend had made agreements in previous lifetimes that they were going to play so hard that sometimes they just died in the process of playing so hard, you know, and that he is and his friend are still connected. And the question became, it wasn't where his friend was, but he found out when his friend was, and that he was able to reaccess all the memories, all the positive memories of his relationship with his friend, and was just able to reconnect with his friend in that way, you know.
Beautiful.
So it's like a combination of like resolution of trauma, but also like existential deep understanding of like life meaning kind of things, you know, and to not just think about it or wonder about it, but to have like a direct experience of it, you know.
Right.
So that was a really deeply meaningful moment in my life, you know, like to witness these experiences. I'm deeply impacted and moved by them and honored to be part of that space.
Right. There's an old expression from when I learned energy medicine, which is give a healing, get a healing. You know, it's similar. Sort of,
Yeah.
Like every time we help somebody through some traumatic experience, it's actually very healing for ourselves as practitioners.
Yeah. It's amazing how it mirrors in our lives in that way. It's like this transpersonal energetic phenomenon.
Right. Right. What have been maybe some of the challenging experiences of you working with it as a therapeutic medicine?
I would say the most challenging experiences are staying in contact. You know, again, that heart open, centered space, staying in contact with someone who's describing the most horrific experience that they've ever had, or an experience as a child, you know, of abuse or something like that, you know. So like staying in contact with deep grief, deep trauma, deep injury, to bear witness, to be with that and to not shut down yourself, you know. And I think that's a skill set, you know, that requires real practice. And sometimes the difficult memories that they shared, like this mirroring process occurs, that it just somehow lines up with something in our own lives that's very personal and important in our own lives. So it becomes real personal pretty quickly sometimes, you know? And so, you know, I have, and talk about it in the book a little bit, but, you know, as a guide, I teach people how to stay in contact with their own experience and not shut down and dissociate when they're hearing something difficult from a client and stuff. So, and then there's a lot of self-care that comes after these experiences to make sure we stay, you know, in a good space.
Right. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I always promote is just the idea of integration, that after we've had this deep experience, it's really how we take it into our daily lives. How do we take it into, you know, the day-to-day life afterwards, and not just have it be some wonderful experience that we experience on the weekend, and now Monday comes and we're just back into the same old grind.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So transitions, I would say I'm a, you know, like I practice transitions these days. I'm always discovering something about myself in these sessions that requires me changing something fundamental about how I live my life. Right. And, you know, you don't do that, right? You don't integrate. Then that starts to pile up and cause like an inner stress. So I'm in constant transition and transformation with this work. Absolutely.
I see William on the Facebook Live asks if he had addictions when he was young, would it bring it back? He's been sober for 24 years. I guess, you know, he's probably stayed away from substances for a long time, and wanted to know, you know, some concern around, well, if I'm working with substances now, like, could that bring back these old bad habits?
Not necessarily, but it would be something at, in our center, we would be really checking in with the person and making sure they're ready. What we found, you know, so cannabis can be used to escape just like alcohol and other drugs. But cannabis in the right setting can be used to heal the traumas that cause the addictions in the first place. And so through education and having, you know, and if there's like acute issues with addiction, we would be inviting them to work with an addictions counselor to engage and shift habits and things. But that working with medicines, psychedelic medicines, can be an addiction healing tool. And it's in the literature now. People are going to ayahuasca ceremonies to help with addiction or psilocybin, you know, for the, you know, getting off of tobacco addictions and things. So it's in the literature, and cannabis can be used in the same way, even with cannabis addiction. What we found is that people who are using to cope, you know, daily to cope, can use our skill sets to then turn towards and heal what they're using the medicine to cope with. And then they start to just use less naturally. It's like a very simple process. It almost doesn't even require a conversation. But we don't minimize addiction issues. You know, we want to honor that there, you know, there's some real struggles.
And I would say, like, that's one of the importance of working with a facilitator, you know, working with a guide who's helping you through the process, not doing it on your own, right? It's, you know, when we're doing things on our own, we can easily sort of fall into old habits, but when we're working with a guide, they're keeping an eye towards that to help to keep us from just checking out or just going in that direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes these big experiences to heal an addiction can be a really big experience, you know, so having, you know, facing something that's hard or whatnot, you know, having support, I highly recommend it. Not everybody can afford a guide. And again, another reason why I wrote my book, but there are integration groups online now, inexpensive ways to get support using psychedelics. So I highly recommend doing cannabis or other psychedelic medicines within some sort of community structure. Yeah. And if you're working to heal something significant, you know, a mental health concern that's significant, then I would recommend getting some support with somebody who really knows how to work with it.
Absolutely. Essential. Okay. Time for us to take our last break. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to ask you about the DMX program, what that was, the DMTX program, excuse me. And where you see the future going with cannabis as a psychedelic. Okay.
Sure. So,
everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Calling all pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Daniel McQueen, author of the book Psychedelic Cannabis, Therapeutic Methods and Unique Blends to Treat Trauma and Transform Consciousness. So we have been talking a lot about the healing trauma side of things. What about using it as just sort of a personal exploration, sort of spiritual practice type of a medicine?
Oh man, it is really great for that. So like with psilocybin and the other big medicines, you really shouldn't be taking them all the time, you know, like, right. and there's a lot of debate on how often, but you know, some people do a few sessions in a week and that sort of thing, but doing it every week or every month is just too much. And so it's like an event as opposed to a practice. And if you're doing it in a good way, and cannabis can be used safely every week, every other week as a psychedelic medicine to, and it's a shorter experience, be a 3 hour versus 8 to 10 or all night, you know, so it's just physically easier to engage. And so I like the creative problem, who hasn't smoked pot and gotten a really good idea, right? On it. So we've just created protocol around that to really amplify that creative problem solving process. And so I get really good ideas. I get guidance on how to run my program. I get ideas on how to build new programs and projects and things, and how to resolve problems and questions in my life. So there's just a real practical aspect. But it does induce these like transcendent states where you get to travel into what you would consider like the spirit realm, you know, similar to DMT or psilocybin, and explore the nature of reality or meet aspects of self or beings that feel you know, bigger than us, you know, or states mm-hmm. of being that are transcendent and blissful, you know. So it's just, you know, just like any psychedelic medicine, it can be used for spiritual exploration. But yeah. I really like the problem solving, like just yeah. straight up practical problem solving. It's really helped me in my life.
Yeah. I know, like in the tech industry in general in California, they use a lot of different psychedelic substances yeah. to help with like very intricate technical problem solving challenges.
I see for microdosing. That's
what yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see Sanaya on the Facebook Live asks, do you find that more companies and employers are starting to shift and be more acceptable of cannabis therapeutic more acceptable cannabis therapeutic / spiritual use? So I guess do you see things kind of shifting in the business world around it?
Yeah, I've actually facilitated circles for different business communities and things as, you know, like a community development process, maybe more progressive or in the cannabis industry, but we're starting to see it in tech industries as well. You know, and then the drug testing with cannabis as it's mm-hmm. becoming more and more legal, you know, most companies just don't want you smoking pot and going and working, right?
Right.
So, you know, professional programs aren't doing cannabis testing generally, or even if they are, it's just an unspoken rule that it's no big deal.
Someone tweeted that in New Jersey, where it just got legalized, that they've now, the New Jersey police force has made it okay for police officers to use cannabis off hours.
I've started to see these things as well in other places. So that's a huge deal. A huge deal. And I think it would be good for police officers to use off duty to help, you know, again, to help shake out that trauma that they receive every day. PTSD in the police force is a real big deal. And
yes.
my father-in-law was a police officer and retired early because of PTSD. So
yeah,
it's a big problem, and anything you do to help the officers would be great.
Absolutely. And I know, like in general, the police force get a lot of bad press these days, but I think people tend to forget that it's a very high stress job. I mean, you're literally putting your life on the line every time you go out. And there's a lot of trauma. I mean, there's a lot of things that police officers see on a daily basis that most of us never experience in our life. And that's something they could really use it for. Okay, before we run out of time, I have to ask you, what is the DMTX program?
Yeah, DMTX, it's an extended state DMT program. So a couple of scientists, Andrew Gallimore, and Rick Strassman, who's known for bringing DMT back into the research environments, they figured out a way to extend and stabilize the typical 4 or 5 minute DMT state to something that can be much longer using special medical equipment, you know, and it's like in formulas that like anesthesiologists use to keep people under mm-hmm. and sedated. So instead of sedating them, they put them in a DMT state and keep them. So I've just been super inspired by this idea and then started a program to bring it into a retreat environment. And so right now we're working with DMT manufacturers in Canada and retreat centers in Jamaica and trying to fit all the puzzle pieces together to be able to do this work. And so if you can imagine being in a, you know, like a hyper-dimensional otherworldly state for an extended period, instead of just getting a flash of the experience, you get to stay in it, reorient, and kind of try to figure out what's really going on.
Wow. That sounds really fascinating. I can't wait to see what kind of results come from that and sort of like the long-term effects of being able to do that. So I would love to when you have some results to publish or talk about, I'd love to have you back on and talk about that.
That'd be great. It's one of my passion projects for sure.
Wonderful. So what does the future hold for the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness?
Well, we're training as many people as we can to do this work to help spread this capacity for healing in the US and Canada. We're starting to make headway into Europe and even in Israel, where people are starting to do this work.
Wonderful.
You know, I think the future is in group psychedelic therapy.
Yes.
Much more affordable. cannabis is a really great tool for that. So we're starting to facilitate small groups for trauma resolution. My wife is a psychotherapist, and we have a medical doctor on staff here. And so that's really my growth edge and exploration is to bring it into group settings, just to increase the accessibility of this work and these medicines.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer in the group experience, because especially sort of an interactive group experience, because most of our trauma, if not all of our trauma, is from our experiences with other people.
That's right.
So why wouldn't our healing be more effective when it's with other people? Yeah. So it just seems to make sense for me. So Daniel, if people want to learn more about your programs, by the way, the trainings, is that in person only or is that online?
We have a hybrid program now. COVID forced us online, and now we're heading back into in-person. So we're keeping the hybrid model. So it's, we have online and in-person options.
Wonderful.
We do circles with people from all over the U.S. and Canada.
Wonderful. Okay. So if people want to learn more about the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness and about your work, where can they find you? Where should they go?
MedicinalMindfulness.org is our center website, and PsychedelicSittersSchool.org is our training program. And you can access it all by just Googling Medicinal Mindfulness and we'll show up.
And I put the link to MedicinalMindfulness.org into the Facebook Live. Daniel, thank you so much. And of course, the book, Psychedelic Cannabis, available in all the major booksellers. If you're interested in it, he's got everything in here. It's very detailed, a really good book. I highly recommend it. Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I would love to stay in contact with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sam.
Really, you're welcome.
Happy to be here.
Great, great, wonderful. And thank you, my loyal listeners, especially all those who've been commenting and asking questions on the Facebook Live. I so appreciate you all. This is why we do the show. Please stay tuned. Coming up later today, there's an encore presentation for Frank about health this week. And tomorrow, of course, we've got brand new shows for episodes for Philanthropy and Focus, always Friday, and Wise Content Creates Wealth. And of course, next week, please start on Monday. And if you have not yet gone to the website and signed up for our newsletter, please go to talkradio.nyc and sign up for our newsletter so you can get just notification. We send out a newsletter once a week to let you know what's coming up with the different episodes every week. So please do that. And if you missed any part of today's show, don't forget, you can catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, and the podcast is up on all the major podcasting platforms: Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. We're all over the place. Just search for the Conscious Consultant Hour. Thank you all. Love you. We will talk to you next week.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.